The big issue on Sokola Duma Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of The Big Issue. And as promised yesterday, that we'll be having part two of the interview that we had with the SAFPU president, and that is the South African Football Players Union. And we have on the line their president, Thulaganyo Gaushubelwe.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Tulas, a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to The Big Issue on Sokola Duma Radio. How are you doing?
Butwam, thank you so much. And let me just say hi to the listeners. And most importantly, thank you for giving us the opportunity to view the players' voices.
Sure. Butulas, you know, as a president of SAFPU, how would you describe your working relationship with the clubs? I mean, from the ABC Motsepe League, the National First Division, or even the PSL, would you say you are right where you want to be, or are there any things or issues that you are unhappy about?
Look, I think we come a long way with the relationship that we've had. It's been a kind of light relationship, but I can tell you that of late we're forging very good relationships with both the Federation and the Premier Soccer League. Mm. Simply because of the persistence and raising the issues as mandated by the players, being able to say, look, we do not want anything out of the extraordinary.
Sure.
What we want is for the players to be respected as workers, the players to be treated in accordance with the Labor Relations Act, with the players to be treated in relation to the International Labor Organization Treaty. You know, so for us, we've come a long way. And indeed, there are clubs that we are still finding it a bit difficult here and there. But the majority, you know, of the clubs, the relationships have really improved. But of course, we don't expect everything to be all smooth sailing. There will be here and there where you get resistance from time to time. But for the majority of the clubs, I can safely say we're happy, we're working together. And I think not only for SAFPU, but for football in general in the country.
Yeah. So when you're saying majority of the teams are cooperating, why would you say the few clubs, what is hindering them from cooperating as with the rest of the other clubs?
Remember, we moved from a baseless point in relation to the implementation of the rights of the players. And some of the clubs would not have really moved faster than we would have expected them to do. And until such a time that those few clubs, you know, they would then have to corporatize and begin to say, we want to run our team very, very professionally with the limited resources that they have, then you'd be able to get to where you want. But having said that, part of the issues, you know, is simply because of misunderstanding between ourselves and the clubs. Sure. Because we've realized that one of the things that we're not doing very well at a time was to have one-on-one engagement with individual clubs. But all the clubs that we managed to meet with them, sit down with them, explain where we come from, what is it that we require, and that we are not there to fight them, but to help them professionalize, to help them talk to the players so that the players are then able to perform at their optimum, you know,
sure.
Are then able to sit down and say, oh, okay, well, this is what you do. I mean, i.e., we have life skills, you know, that we sit down with the players and we tell them, advise them on their career issues, what is it that they need to do, how they need to, behave, you know, in a professional way, what is required and so forth. What is their responsibility towards the contract? As much as we tell the clubs, what is their responsibility towards their contract with the players? Mm. So both parties must begin to respect and honor the contract, as it were. So I think the, you know, engagements with the club, the visits to the club, the one-on-ones with the clubs have made it very, very easier for us to begin to engage and say, these are the issues. And to the extent that sometimes you find that there would need to be some settlement. The club would be saying, look, I do not want player A. I do not want. We sit down and say, okay, yeah, we hear you. We are not going to force you to have this player. All we want is for you to respect the contract. However, if you're saying you don't want the player, what does player A want? player A want a settlement that want to be facilitated for them, and it's smooth sailing, and we move. And to the extent that we don't find each other, of course, we hear again from a player, then we can take the matter to the tribunal, to the dispute resolution chamber, where we'll then sit and argue our case, and we agree to disagree.
Yeah. You know, Tulas, say now, at the beginning of all the SAFU organization, at the beginning, say you wanted 10 things. Up from when you were established up until now, how many of those 10 things that maybe you said you planned for are now being implemented by the club? How many of them would you say out of 10?
Look, I think we wanted quite a number of things, okay? And at the heart of it was to have a better relationship with the clubs, okay? And having that better relationship would lead to some of the things that we need. We needed to say, let us sign the collective bargaining agreement with the clubs so that they recognize that we do exist as an organization of the players. Because with that recognition, we are then able to move further to the things that you are asking us, things like a minimum wage. We have sat down and said, we have not achieved the issue of the minimum wage, but we are not very far with the clubs in terms of what we need to do. But also, the issue of the minimum wage must not only be understood in isolation as minimum wage. We have raised these issues and we continue doing that to saying, you know, when we have a minimum wage and you are sitting with a situation where capital or the previously disadvantaged companies, I mean, previously advantaged companies or capital, they do not invest in previously disadvantaged sports. It makes it a bit difficult in terms of the money that is in that field, i.e., when you go to rugby, there are millions and millions of rands. In football, there's absolutely a little to that you can write home about in terms of monies. We are engaging with the Ministry of Sport to say, look, we rather have a situation where we have 100 million, then from that 100 million, then we can sit down and negotiate. And this thing, by the way, it speaks to what we are talking about in regards to ICASA regulating, which is one of the things that I think in good time we need to sit down and say, yes, ICASA wants to regulate. Yes, ICASA wants to say what money needs to be in the sport and so forth. But also they need an insight in terms of how to do that. So the more money we have, the better. But we don't have the money. We don't have a lot of people. And we believe that government also has got a role to play in terms of ensuring that there's a lot of money and sponsorship, you know, begin to pump money in the previously disadvantaged sport. I mean, when you go to schools, for an example, where football is played, when you go to schools, you realize where football is played is not the previously advantaged schools, but it's only this school. And, you know, your Model C or your previously disadvantaged schools, they prefer rugby and rugby to all sports. So we are saying part of the things that we must do is to fight for minimum wage, but we must also look at minimum wage in a bigger context to say, we want the players to earn this much. We know that the league can afford, you know, to do that. But is it going to be sustainable? Then for us to have sustainability, we need people pumping a lot of money. We've been talking about the issue of the National Dispute Resolution Chamber. It was very difficult. It was unheard of, you know, that the players, you can go to the National Dispute Resolution Chamber, which is a tribunal. When players have got issues, they're able to go there, raise their issues, you refer your cases. Our issue precisely was that the National Dispute Resolution Chamber was not compliant in terms of FIFA rules. As you know, FIFA is the authority of football. And FIFA rules, there's a circular there, which is circular 10 and circular 1129. Those circulars are simply saying there must be 50% representation of clubs, 50% of representation from the players' union, and you must have the two independent chairpersons, the deputy and the chairperson. We've had a battlefield. We have found each other with the league in terms of what we need to do. We've agreed. We are restructuring that. And we believe that in the new year when we start, we would be sitting with a new dispute resolution chamber. See, these are the things that we need to do. These are the things that ought to be achieved and so forth. So for us, that issue to say the player's voice can be heard, the players are able to raise the issues as it were, we are then very, very much happy. The issue in terms of the improvement of salaries, we think that salaries, as much as there are those that have improved, there's still a lot that needs to be done in terms of what the players really need to begin to be accorded. The issue of transportation, which we have raised, to say, we want Pumula. You know that previously, Polokwane City, there were players who passed on because the kind of transportation that was used was not really proper on that particular day when there was an accident, given the report that we received, to say, there was this thing, this is what happens. So there's still a lot of things that we need to achieve. Things like your insurance, sure, which we, of course, we will be discussing as part of the discussions in the current collective bargaining agreement. The issues of the medical aid is what we are discussing in the current juncture to say, how do we then deal with that particular matter? We have addressed the issues that we wanted to do was to have at least SAFPU bursary scheme, you know, that will be supported by everybody, the players, the league and so forth. We are engaging the league as well at that level to say, look, these are the things that we are currently are dealing with. How do you assist us? And the players have responded positively. The players are taking membership of the union. The players are not afraid to express their support on behalf of the, I mean, for the union that represent them. And the players are able to, you know, relate and say, these are the things that we want. Currently, what we are dealing with, and I believe it's very important, is the issue of tax. We believe that players are unnecessarily taxed a whole lot of money. We have made this argument. And I know a lot of people sometimes don't understand this particular argument, but we are not apologetic about it. We believe that there must be a special dispensation when it comes to tax. Players must be taxed less. When I work as a CEO of a company, I earn about 100,000 rand. I am able to work there for the next coming 30, 40 years as a CEO. You can tax me what you want. You can tax me 45%. You can tax me 30%. You can tax me whatever. I will be happy because for the next coming 30 years, I'll still be in that position. I'm credit worthy. I'll be doing that. Now you find the same situation. A player who earns about 35,000, 60,000, 100,000, being taxed the same as if he's in corporate. And that player only has a three-year contract. After 3 years, when you tax me 45,000, let's say I'm very fortunate, I earn about 100,000 rand. 45% of that, because 100,000 will take me into a different bracket. Now, it means that I might be taxed about something like 45,000. What is 45,000? I mean, 45% of 100,000. Could be 45,000, 65. Now, every month, 45,000 is taken from my salary. How much is that? Yeah. What then happens when I retire? What we are saying is that, charge them, for an example, 25%, but we don't want the 25% to go into the player's kit. It must not go into the player's salaries. 25%, the difference between 25% on whatever they're getting, be it 45%, the government must assist us. We've got actuarial scientists. We've got people who can begin to help us create a product or create a kiri that would say the players are going to contribute this much. Government would still have access to that amount of money. When the players retire, then they will be able to do that. In Europe, this is what happened, my brother. In Europe, when you sign a contract, you've got a four-year contract of about 3 million euros, for an example. All right? You are not going to be given all that money. Some money you are forced to save as a player, they take that amount and it goes there. And these are some of the discussions that we are having with the league. And I think with the improved relationship that we are having with them currently, we'll then be able to begin to say, what is it that we need to do? Can we then agree that at some point, you know, dictatorship is not always bad. It depends which way you look at it. At some point, we must then begin to say, every player that plays football, regardless of where this person is, we must take about, in terms of from their earnings, we must take about 15%, put it away, until when they retire, then they will have access. Because we have learned. We know what happens when you have a lot of money. We know what happens when you do not have a structured or a program that begins to teach you about finances. You take wrong decisions, you take all that. And we believe that we'll be able to get into these things and deal with them. In principle, we've agreed with the league on quite a number of things to say, these are your responsibilities, the players, you know. You need to sit down. You need to talk to the players and address them. And who better to be listened to than the players' union? You know, because the players would want to listen, we want to engage with them. But we can only do it if we've harmonized the relationship with the league and so forth. So from where we're sitting, that's what we need. But another thing that's in the immediate is to ensure that with the league that's coming, the women's league, you know, we need to we are supporting those people 100%. We need to ensure that when this league is finally launched, the players there are well taken care of. There's money in this game. It's sustainable because it cannot be business as always, where men are playing football, but women are not really taken care of. So we're looking at all these things. For us, it's very important. We need to look at these things. We must make sure that everybody is out there and we do that. And of course, I mean, a cherry on top will be if we win that World Cup. A cherry on top will be if we win that AFCON. A cherry on top would be, you know, excuse me, when the under 20, you know, is going to do very well and we are there. The under 23 is doing well as well. So there's a brighter future, but it's not only about playing football. It has to be about the rights of those who are playing. They give us so much. They give us love. We are happy. We are able to talk and so forth. So we're saying in this day of Workers' Day, players' rights must be respected. We need to sit down and be considered. Gone are days where people will just take decisions without us. I mean, Stephen Cantu-Biko had said, you know, the problem is that sometimes we are sitting on the fence in a game that we ought to be playing. So we simply say we don't want to sit on the fence. We want to play. We want to participate. We don't want much. All we are saying is that this is what we need, and we want to influence decision. We want to influence policy and make sure that, yes, indeed, people are able to see things the way we need to see things. Let's take it very simple and say this. When you go to mining conferences, you get people who are miners sitting there. When you get to finances, you get people who are in finances and dealing with that, okay? And at some point, you need footballers, people who've got the knowledge and the know-how of running the game, who have played the game, to be able to do that. But how do we get there? Firstly, by honoring them while they are playing, by making sure that the playing fields are level, by making sure that the labor conditions in the country are such that conducive, such that they are then able to make what they can out of the game, so that they are then able to reinvest. But equally so, even ourselves, we must say in this labor day, things are going to be different. We are going to empower ourselves. We are going to educate ourselves. We are going to make sure that for us to participate in this game that we're taking, we want things to be different. We don't want to be beggars in the game that we have played. But what is it that is required of us? What is required of us to put effort, to put our time into administrative courses? There are a lot of coaches out there. We are here. We've contributed in terms of the production of a lot of coaches because we are paying for them, and we've said that we want to occupy the space. We have occupied that space in terms of coaching, what we have done, paying for the players. But we now need to move forward and say, what do we need to do in this day as thing? We want people who are going to represent us as footballers, who know exactly what they want, empower themselves, read empower yourself until such a time that we are able to influence policy the best way we know how.
Wow. Yazi, Butulas, I think when you were growing up, you are one of those few children who used to hit four beds with one stone, because I had a lot of questions for you, but in this summary that you have just given us, you have answered each and every of those questions. And some of those things were to do with the ICASA thing, which you've explained quite well. Some of the things were to do with the club retirement funds and all that, which you have in your answer, one answer, and you have answered all of that, which is why I wanted you specifically to be on the show today. But before I let you go, there is this thing about the club licensing. There was talk of a club licensing at the beginning of last year, and you guys at SAFU were really happy that finally SA Football was heading to the right direction. But till today, nothing has happened. Have you guys been given any reasons why it is taking so long to be implemented?
Look, I think a lot has happened, but there's a difference here. When you look in terms of football in general, in all the other parts of the continent where football is run, the issues of your club licensing and so forth, or maybe let me put it in this fashion, the association runs the league. So the league is not dependent. The league is not independent of the association. Sure. But here at home, we are more professional from the professional league is not run by the association, all right?
Sure.
Now, the professional league has got what we call the club licensing. There are issues, of course, in terms of the club licensing. You've got a club licensing, this is what you have, and this is what would have been given in terms of what needs to happen. Our issue was very simple to say, look, we appreciate that you have made sure that you have professionalized the league. However, we would also want to inform and influence what goes in and out of that club licensing. For an example, if you find a situation, because this is where we think issues must be dealt with. If a club is doesn't pay players, it's a serial offender, you know, and so forth, what do we do in terms of the club licensing? Shouldn't we be saying, because you owe so many players, therefore we should not recognize or allow you to renew your license of playing in the professional rank simply because you owe players? Can't we look at that and locate it within the club licensing? What are other things? What is it that needs to be regulated? What are the things? How do we regulate football in terms of that? So all parties need to sit down and say, what is it that we need to do? I've looked at the club licensing from the league's point of view. I think they've done a very good job. However, there are a lot of improvements that can be done in terms of the engagement to say, how do we move and get in the issues of the players so that everybody at checks and balances, say what happens and so forth. We might be sitting here and we say, the current leadership of the league is willing to listen to us, is willing to engage with us through that. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow when the current leadership is not here. So we need to do whatever we do. It must be such that it's something that we are going to do to ensure that the future of football in this country is guarded. And it has to be, because for us, it is very, very important. And it is a matter that we cannot leave to anybody else out there and say we are not going to deal with. But it's sacrosanct, and we must make sure that it is protected the best way we know how. So that's a legacy that anyone and anybody can be there. The stability in the country. When we are going to Botulahanyu in this organization, as we'll be going, I mean, very soon at some point, we need to say, this is what we have done, and we are happy to look back. Because it's not about individuals, but it's about the system that we want to put out there and do that. And people must also understand that we need to, sometimes we don't differ because we don't like them. But we differ simply because we want to ensure that football, and we guard whatever they would have started, we guard against the very same thing that they claim to be loving so much. So we all are claiming to say we love this game, and we want to ensure that everybody else in that particular space goes accordingly. I mean, going back again,
yeah.
Going back again to this issue of Ikasa that you have spoken about,
yeah.
We have written to government, you know, in terms of our views with regards to the issue of Ikasa. We say, look, we cannot find a situation. When you go back, you look back before the advent of the DSTV,
sure.
Players were not really getting a lot of money. But if you take that away, you might sit with a situation where everybody and anybody can negotiate and get 10,000 rand. But that will then impact on the livelihood of the footballers. Because those who are tasked with the responsibility of negotiating on their behalf may not have the power to negotiate and say, no, we think the best way of dealing with it is this much. So I would rather, like I said earlier, when in terms of the minimum wage, I would rather be able to say we have 100 million rands in the league that we can then start fighting with the clubs and say, what is it that we want as a minimum? Rather than saying, no, this thing has been regulated, because I says, no, you don't have the rights, you cannot negotiate on behalf of the players, you cannot go to multi-choice, we want those rights, we want to negotiate, let's just give them to free-to-air channel. But you know what does that free-to-air channel mean? It means that the players are going to suffer. Because free-to-air channel will say, no, we want to give you 30 million. Yes, the clubs mean they've got their own interest. It's fine. But our interests are very simple. We want the player to earn better. So we are, in this case, supporting the clubs. But we are not supporting them with a blanket approach that says, no, it's fine, that's everything. We are saying, yes, as much as we're supporting, but we also want you to improve the livelihood of the players. So that's where fundamentally I'm saying we need to sit down at some point. Could be next week sometimes, where we can focus on this issue of Ikasa so that we iron out and thresh it out. And it's about time. Government also must listen. The TG there must listen. It cannot be law unto themselves. They need to understand exactly where we are so that we are able to engage on issues that are very pertinent to us. And we must tell them exactly. It must not just be a blanket approach of it's a political thing, or we are in charge, we're going to do that. We need to sit down, we need to engage, and we're hoping that they'll come back and we'll engage on these matters and find each other.
Yeah, Budwam, Tulakanyo, Khao Shebele, Ndiabulela Kakuru Puti, for your time. Thank you ever so much for your information. We thank you, and hopefully that the players will enjoy the Workers' Day today, and hopefully you will also enjoy the Workers' Day. Thank you ever so much for your time.
No, thank you so much. The players will enjoy the Workers' Day, and we're hoping that in years to come, we'll be able to sit with each other in studio and talk about it, or maybe just go to the field and engage with the players on a live radio show to say this is what they do and so forth. But thank you so much, Mtlekazi, man, for giving us the voice.
Always appreciate it, Baba. Thank you so much.
Thanks, my brother.
All right, that's the SAFU president. That's the South African Football Players Union. That is Thulaganyo Gaushubelwe.
Sokoladuma Radio.
All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to tune in onto the show tomorrow, 2 p.m. We have a live show. See you tomorrow.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Sokola Duma Radio.